Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
Can anybody guess what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about faith. Faith. We're going to continue our series called Ridiculous Faith. And this has been a series we've been preaching out of the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And believe it or not, we are now on our 10th week. This is the 10th Sunday in this series. Now, we've had some services in between there where the Lord kind of just took over and had something else planned for service, and that's all right. But this is now the 10th week that we've been on this series, and it's crazy to me because it doesn't actually feel like it's been that long. It seems like it's gone by that fast. So we still got a little ways to go in this series. But as we said 2 weeks ago, we looked at Hebrews 11 verses 20 through 22, and we said this. We said that faith is prophetic. We said that it is our faith in God that helps us get through the here's and now's of life. Whatever we may be facing in this life, whatever you may be going through here and now, whether that's good or whether it's bad, faith gets us through because faith gives us hope for the future. And as we talked 2 weeks ago about faith being prophetic, we briefly, we covered the life of Joseph and the journey of his bones from Egypt to the promised land where they were buried. But in that, we briefly mentioned Moses, whose life is going to be the focus of today's sermon. So I want you to see today, this is my first point, I want you to see that faith is courageous. Faith makes us courageous. Okay, so faith is courageous. Now, today we're going to look at five instances in Moses' life and what faith produced in those moments. And as we do that, I want you to keep in mind the definition of faith from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that says this. Now faith is, how many know it's a now faith, right? Now faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So each one of the five acts that we're going to read about today in Moses' life, is produced by faith. It'll say, by faith this happened, right? It was produced by the assurance of something that is hoped for, okay? So watch for that and look for that. Watch for the way that hope in God, hope in God's word, hope in God's promises actually produces in us a new kind of behavior. And then take notice that these five acts of faith in Moses' life, they cover a period of about 80 years. 80 years from the time that Moses was born to the time that he led the children of Israel out of Egypt in the Great Exodus. And then the last thing I want you to notice about these five moments in Moses' life is that these moments were very high-pressured and high-stressful moments. Each one of them really kind of is like a life-and-death situation that would cause anyone to be under tremendous pressure and stress, okay? And so see what faith does in those moments. Hebrews 11, we're going to read verses 23 through 29. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. So here are five moments in Moses' life, but notice, as I said, they are all crisis points. They're critical moments in his life. And the point of these verses right here in Hebrews 11 is that faith, or the assurance of things hoped for, the faith in God, faith and hope in God's word, faith and hope in God's promises, it makes all the difference in our lives when crisis hits. Faith makes the difference. So let's look at these and let's ask God to teach us how to walk through crisis in our own lives courageously by faith. All right. So the first crisis we see has to do with the faith of Moses' parents, actually when he was first born. Now, this is what we know according to Scripture. If we go back and read it in Exodus, that the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, he was afraid of the growing number of Jewish people, right? They've been there for hundreds of years, and since Joseph's time, and Joseph was brought there to save the Israelites, they've been there, and they've been growing in the land of Goshen and multiplying. And so the king of Egypt says, hey, they're getting so many that if they choose to do so, they could overthrow us, these people. So in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, the king of Egypt, he orders the Hebrew children, the Hebrew sons more particularly, to be killed. Exodus 1:22. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, every Jewish son, you shall cast into the river, the Nile River, and every daughter you shall save alive. So what we do is we look at this command from the king. We have to take notice that in this command, there are two threats. There are two threats, okay? One is explicit, and the other, and that explicit one is, hey, Jewish baby boys, Jewish baby males are to be killed. They're to be thrown in the river. The other threat's implied, right? That if you disobey the command of the king of Egypt and you save a Jewish baby boy alive, then you're being disobedient to the king's law, the king's command, and you're risking your own life by doing that if you save the Jewish boys, okay? So, in other words, at this time, parents had two choices. They could kill their sons and save themselves, or they could try to save their sons and risk their own lives by doing so. There was really no middle ground in that command. So, and it's very important for us to see that, because Hebrews 11:23 doesn't really make sense if we don't see that. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Now, someone might read that and respond and say, of course they were afraid. Of course they were afraid of the king's command. Otherwise, they would not have been hiding their baby. If they weren't afraid, they would have been showing the baby off, saying to the neighbors, hey, look at this beautiful baby boy we got. That's what they would be doing if they were not afraid. So what does verse 23 mean that they hid their baby son because they were not afraid of the king's command? You would expect in our fleshly, natural reasoning to say they hid their son because they were afraid, not because they were not afraid. But the answer I've already kind of given you is there's two threats in the king's command, not just one. One against the babies and one against those who don't kill the babies, right? If you kill the baby, if you kill the baby boy, you save your life. If you don't kill the baby, you're risking your life. So when Moses' parents decided they were not going to drown Moses in the Nile River, but hide him, they were actually risking their lives. In other words, what they were doing by faith is they were looking the fear of death in the face, maybe even perhaps the threat of torture, and they said, we will not give in to you. We will not kill our son out of fear for our own lives. The fear of death and even harm to us will not control us. In other words, their faith made them courageous. It made them courageous. That is the point of this text, that the act of courage against the king's command and the act of love towards their son Moses, they both came from faith. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents because they were not afraid of the king's command. So how does faith produce that kind of courage, and how does faith produce that kind of love? I think the definition from Hebrews 11:1 gives us the answer. Faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for. So faith produces in us this kind of radical courage and this radical love for other people, because it is the assurance that what God promises to us, those who die in the path of love for other people, is better than what the world promises to those who shun love and save themselves, to those who are selfish, right? So more simply put, faith in God's promises, it actually frees us from the fear of man, it frees us from the fear of death, and it makes us very courageous and brave, especially in loving people. Loving people. And so there's another point as well as the one I just went over, okay? Notice that Moses' parents, they risked their lives by not killing their baby. But they did hide the baby. They did hide him. Now, in some people's minds, maybe some religious minds that I've come across, had encounters with. Anybody had an encounter with a religious spirit and religious mind? Okay. Maybe some immature minds with little real life experience. Somebody might say, well, if Moses' parents really had faith, if they had real faith, they would have entrusted their child to the care of God, and they would have walked around the community with their new baby unafraid if they had real faith. That would have been real faith. How do you respond to someone like that? People that say, well, they didn't trust God. They were using human means to protect their baby instead of just entrusting him to God. I think probably the best way to respond to someone like that is to tell them to read their Bibles a little more carefully, right? Because the Bible actually says, Hebrews 11:23, that Moses' parents did indeed have faith, and they hid their baby. By faith, they hid their baby, and were not afraid of the king's command. Not killing the baby put their lives at risk and was a great act of faith and love. Hiding their baby was a humanly act, but it was one that was done out of God-given wisdom, and it did not negate their faith. Okay? I want you to hear me loud and clear. Wisdom is not the enemy of faith. Now, I understand that people can use wisdom as a disguise to not walk in faith, but people also will do the opposite of that and say they don't have faith because they were using wisdom. Okay, wisdom is not the enemy of faith. God tells us to have both according to his word. Okay, if Moses' parents would have done otherwise at this time and they would have paraded Moses around, that probably would have been what I like to call presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin. It's kind of like when Jesus came out of the wilderness and Satan came to tempt Jesus, right? We know the temptation of Christ. He tempts him three times. One of those temptations was Satan took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, the top of the temple, and he says, look, the word says, he quoted Psalms, he said, the word says that he's given his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So why don't you just jump, prove to me that you're the Son of God, jump off this temple, and because that word has been spoken, it's true, he'll send his angels down and save you before you hit the bottom. If Jesus would have jumped, that would have been presumption. That would not have been using wisdom, right? So faith and wisdom, they work hand in hand. They're not the enemy of each other. That's why I think Paul prays in Colossians 1:9-11, and Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, he says, and this is in my own words, I pray fervently that you have spiritual wisdom, and that you bear fruit in every good work, right? You know, our fruit comes from faith in God and being led by the Spirit. So wisdom's not the enemy of faith, and faith is not the enemy of wisdom. Now, I'm going to skip over the second act of faith that we read in Hebrews 11, And I'm going to go through to the third act of faith in Moses' life in verse 27. And then I'm going to come back to the second act, and it'll make sense in a little bit, okay? I'm doing this because what we see in verse 27 is 40 years later, when Moses is 40 years old, and it is a situation that Moses faces that is a lot like the one his parents faced when he was born. And I believe we'll understand it better if we see it in connection with one another, okay? So according to Exodus 2:11, Moses began to identify with his Jewish heritage, right? He was taken in, he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, but as he grew older, he began to recognize, these are my people, the Israelites are my people, the Hebrew people are my people. He began to identify with them, okay? And he was burdened with the reality of their slavery in Egypt, right? Exodus 2:11. Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren, and he looked at their burdens. This was the Israelites. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Well, do we know what happens next? Yeah, we do. In this moment, Moses rises up out of emotion. He sees this Egyptian beating his fellow Jew. He intervenes, and what does he do? He kills the Egyptian, right? Now, Moses thought that what he had done had been done in secret, okay? But the next day, he actually discovers that word had already gotten around what he had done, okay? Can I just say this right here? The truth always comes out. The truth always comes out. It may not come out right away. It may come out down the road. But I want you to know something. The truth always comes out. So start and end with the truth. I have told my two sons, as long as they've been able to understand me, listen, always start with the truth. They know my pet peeve is lying. Don't lie to me. I'd rather you just give me the cold, hard truth than you lie to me. Listen, start and end with the truth. From up here, this pulpit, guess what? I have to tell you the truth when you like it and when you don't. I'll give you the truth when you're shouting the house down and when you're dead silent twiddling your thumbs. I'm just going to speak the truth, okay? And that's what I try to do. And in our everyday life, we got to start and end with the truth. When we lie, we're not being like our Heavenly Father. Who's called the father of lies? Jesus said he's the father of lies. Satan. So when we lie, we're not like our Heavenly Father. We're like the prince of the air of this earth, right? Satan. So let's not lie. Start and end with the truth. Let's just say that. Start with the truth. End with the truth. Man, that feels good. Let's do it one more time. Start with the truth. End with the truth. And tell the truth in the middle, too. Okay. All right. The last part of Exodus 2:14 says this. Then Moses was afraid. This is after it had become known that he had killed an Egyptian. Then Moses was afraid and said, surely the matter has become known. All right? He'd been found out. The very next verse says this, Exodus 2:15. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Man, that's deep. I knew Ryan would get it. That's my dad joke. He sat down by a well. Man, that's deep. My dad joke for the day. I knew Ryan would get it. Yes. Did anybody else get it? Just be honest. Okay, all right. Anybody didn't get it? Go ahead, be honest. Start with the truth. There we go. Do I need to go over and start with the truth again? I only saw two hands raised. Did you get it? Raise your hand. Did you not get it? Raise your hand. Okay, there we go. There we go. All right. We're working on that honesty. He's still working on me. All right. So, I lost my place. That's deep. That's deep. Now, here's a problem. Here's a problem like the one we just saw in verse 23. Is Moses afraid when he leaves Egypt, or isn't he? Were his parents afraid when they hid their baby, or were they not? In verse 23, it says that his parents hid their baby because they were not afraid of the king's command. In verse 27, it says, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Yet we saw right there in Exodus 2 that Moses was afraid, right? When he heard that his act of violence was known. We know that his parents were at least afraid enough to hide their baby. So do you see the similarity between the two moments in Moses' life? So did Moses leave Egypt out of fear or did he not? The answer is this. He probably did leave Egypt to try and save his life, okay? But was fearful self-preservation his reason for leaving? When verse 27 says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, did the writer of Hebrews forget what Exodus 2:14 says and said that Moses felt fear? Or is the Holy Spirit trying to point us to something different and something very deep in Moses' heart so that we don't misunderstand Exodus 2:14? The key is found in this word, endured, in verse 27. Endured. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Here's my second point today. One is faith makes you courageous. Number two is faith endures. Faith endures. So, it wasn't fear at the core that caused Moses to leave Egypt. It was endurance. For he endured. Endurance in what? Endurance, the word endurance actually implies that there's a chosen path of difficulty that you are tempted to forsake, but you don't forsake it, you endure, you hang in there, right? You endure. So what is Paul referring to when he says in verse 27, Moses left Egypt for he endured? What path had Moses chosen that required endurance to stay on that path and even lead him out of Egypt for 40 years until he come back to lead his people out of Egypt? The answer is actually given to us in Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. That's why I skipped over them, right? Let's go back and read that second act of faith. These verses actually describe a decision that Moses made, a path that he had chosen before he actually felt threatened by Pharaoh. What was this path? By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ, the anointed one, right? Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. The writer tells us the path that Moses had chosen in two ways. First, he chose the ill treatment with the people of God over the passing pleasures of sin. Secondly, he chooses the reproach of Christ Jesus, right? The Messiah, over the treasures of Egypt. We can't miss this. This choice was made before the threat of Pharaoh ever came. That's why it's listed before that, right? This choice was already made. The bridges to Egypt had already been burned between Moses and Egypt, and it happened in his heart. Maybe not geographically yet, but spiritually and morally, he was already gone from Egypt, right? We got to see that. Now the question would be, would he endure in that chosen path? That chosen path of suffering for the people of God and for the glory of Jesus Christ? Or would he cave in? Sadly, like a lot of people do into modern day Egypt, they cave in to the passing pleasures of sin. They cave in to what this world and the treasures and the riches of this world can offer. But not Moses. Was Moses' flight from Egypt self-serving? Was it fearful? Was it a pursuit of ease and comfort and safety? Verse 27 says no. It says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. So fear was not his basic mindset. What was? Godly pursuit. Godly pursuit. For he endured. He endured in what? In the same deep motive that caused him to choose ill treatment with the people of God. The same motive that caused him to have reproach for the sake of Christ who was coming. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured by faith, by looking to God's promises, not Pharaoh's threats. This is the same motive that drove his courageous choices in verse 24 through 26. He chose ill treatment by faith. He chose reproach by faith. He had by faith burned the bridges in his heart. And then by faith, he burned them in his flight out of Egypt. He experienced fear, there's no doubt. Yeah, there was some fear when word spread that he had been responsible for killing an Egyptian and saving a Jew. Just as his parents experienced fear when they saved their baby boy and risked their own lives. But hiding their baby was not an act of fear. It was out of wisdom. And Moses leaving Egypt was not an act of fear and self-unbelief, right? It was a persevering. It was an enduring, what? In spite of fear. And out of obedience to faith in God. He wasn't driven merely or mainly by fear. But Moses looked to the unseen God to work out some purpose for him and his people. And then 40 years later, he would discover what that purpose was. As he was in the desert of Midian, the Lord would appear to him in a burning bush. And he would say, "Hey, Moses, take off your shoes. Kick off your shoes. You're on holy ground." And he's like, "Who am I talking to?" He said, I am that I am. I am Yahweh. I am God. And I'll be everything you need. And this is what I want you to do. I want you, it's been 40 years. You're 80 years old now. I want you to go back to Egypt." "Well, God, I burned the bridges to Egypt. And I'm not going back there. I have no desire for that." He's like, "Oh, no, I'm not sending you there to stay. I'm sending you to bring the captives out." Come on, somebody better recognize that you've been brought out of what you've been through and what you've been in, because God wants to send you to go back and get some people out of that mess too. Your testimony is a tool to use to help bring people out of things you've been through too. And so he said, "I'm not sending you there to stay. I'm sending you there to set the captives free and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And so the story goes, he says, "I'll go with you." And so he goes back to Egypt. He gets with his brother Aaron. Aaron speaks for Moses. And he says, "God says, let my people go." And under the command and the anointing of God, eventually, through miracles, signs, and wonders, Pharaoh would agree to let God's people go. But before there was an exodus, right, the last plague, the angel of death would come. And this is what happened. By faith, Moses showed us how to trust in the atoning blood of the Lamb. Because at the Passover, what they did is before the angel of death came through in Egypt, and every firstborn son was taken, right? We got to be careful what we say. Pharaoh said every firstborn son is thrown into the Nile, and if you don't do this, you're dead. Well, then he's eating those words. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit of it." And then the angel of death comes through Egypt and kills the firstborn of every son. Unless you had the blood applied. Unless you had the lamb's blood applied. And so by faith, Moses took the lamb's blood and he told the children of Israel, "Put this on your doorpost. And if the blood has been applied, the angel of death will pass over." And so the angel of death comes, and every home that had the blood applied was passed over, was shown mercy, was shown grace. By faith, it says Moses did that. By faith, guess what we do? We believe in the finished work of the cross of Christ, the blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. And when we declare that by faith and we believe it, the blood is applied. And guess what? Death no longer has any hold or power over us, but we have life and life more abundantly, eternally. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Then in verse 29, Amanda, you can come. I'm getting ready to close. Verse 29, it says, by faith, Moses passed through the Red Sea. They passed through the Red Sea, Moses and the Israelites, as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Moses' faith shows us in verse 29 that in the middle of a crisis in our life where there seems to be no way out, where there is a sea in front of you and armies of enemies behind you, that you can stand still. That's what Moses told the people at that moment. Can you imagine? You're trapped by a body of water, an ocean in front of you. You got the enemy that is pursuing you behind you coming full with chariots and weapons and armory. They're coming at you. And then your leader says, okay, we're in this tight spot. What I want you to do is stand still. That's what God told Moses to tell the people. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And as Moses lifted his rod, the Red Sea began to part and they walked across on dry ground. By faith, Moses saw that split and God made a way where there seemed to be no way. How can I close today? I'll close by saying this. God can make a way for you too. I don't care how trapped you feel, how surrounded you feel, you can stand still by faith and see the salvation of the Lord. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. The bridges in Moses' heart were burned well before he was threatened by Pharaoh. They were burned deep in his heart. And how were they burned? By faith. That's what faith does all throughout Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is actually a hunger for God that triumphs over the hunger for the pleasures of this world. That's what faith is. And so when we really put our faith into God, when we really put our hope into God, faith unleashes some ridiculously God-centered, courageous, people-loving behavior. I want to be more like Moses this morning. I want to look to the reward of God's promises, not the passing pleasures of sin. I want to look to Him who is invisible, right? Instead of to the treasures of this world. And I'll look to His reward. I'll look to His reward. I want all of us to be so hungry for God, the worth of God, that the bridges are burned to 100,000 sins. The bridges are burned to 100,000 pleasures. The bridges are burned to 100,000 treasures and fears and worries in our heart as we pursue Him. Amen? Y'all stand with me. Faith makes us courageous. Faith endures. I just want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, if you don't mind. I think the first question I have to ask is, has the blood been applied? Has the blood, by faith, been applied? What do you mean? What I mean by that is Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, right? If you confess Him as the Lord of your life, and you believe God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. What does that mean? It means that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that He came and He took the sins of the world. He nailed them to the cross through the spilling of His blood and His death, His burial. But through His resurrection and His power, we've been forgiven. And we have to confess and believe that by faith. Have you by faith had the blood applied? Has it been applied where there is life and life everlasting? you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not 100% sure, that that blood's been applied. I don't know that I've ever really confessed him as my Lord. If that's you this morning, you say, I want to be sure. I want to make sure the blood is applied and I have life eternally. If that's you, just throw your hand up, put it right back down. Thank you, Jesus. If you hear this morning and you say, Pastor Andrew, you know, there's some times in my life, maybe it's right now, but maybe you just struggle with fear. And you say, I need my faith in God to make me courageous again. You struggle with fear, you struggle with worry, you struggle with anxiety, and it could be just in the day-to-day things. Things that you really know you shouldn't worry about, but you do. And you don't want to worry about them. You just have this spirit of fear. And you say, but by faith, I'm declaring today that that is gone from my heart. It's gone from my life. I'm burning that bridge. If that's you, just throw the hand up. Throw it up. I see them all across the room. Maybe you hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, the blood's been applied. But there are some passing pleasures of sin that seem to keep taunting me. And instead of giving in to those, I want to endure with God. I don't want to give in to those things anymore. And I, by faith, am making that declaration today. That no longer has a hold on me. Just throw it up. If you got some struggles you're going through, hey. Yeah. By faith. Last but not least, you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm in a place I feel surrounded. If God doesn't do something, there's no way out. Good news is, he can make a way. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker, right? If you say, I feel surrounded, I just want to stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord in my life today, and I need that desperately, throw your hand up, put it right back down. Y'all look at me. It's amazing what faith can do. Jesus said, if we had faith the size of a mustard seed, we could speak to a mountain and say, be thou removed, and it would be cast into the sea. It's amazing the power of faith. But this is the amazing thing. It has nothing to do with us and everything to do with him. It's not our faith that has the ability to move mountains. It's the God behind the faith. What is your faith in? That's the question we need to ask. Because if your faith is in God to move the mountain, I guarantee you God can move the mountain. But if you have faith in yourself with your own hands to move that mountain, that mountain ain't moving. Where is your faith centered? What do the bridges in your heart connect to? In Moses' heart, he said, nothing in this world matters. You're all I want. He could have had everything. Egypt was the most prestigious country in the world at that time. Treasures unlimited. Power and authority. He could have had it all. He was considered the grandson of the king of Egypt. But he said, if I can't have you, Lord, I don't want that. He burned those bridges in his heart. What are the bridges in your heart connected to? And by faith, which ones do you need to endure on, and which ones do you need to burn? They're going to begin to sing. As they begin to sing, if you raised your hand for any reason, maybe you should have but didn't, or maybe you just feel a tug for something else that was spoken that spoke to your heart. As they sing, would you come to this altar? Let God minister to you. By faith, receive what he has for you today.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.